the burden the Lord had put on my heart this week, I would just title the message, God, Country, and Politics. I know that we live in a very troubled world, and woke up one morning and the Lord just started talking to me, and I know we're going to address maybe a number of different points this morning. There will be a number of points that are left unaddressed. I also freely acknowledge that. I'd like to begin this morning in the book of Galatians in the first chapter in the third verse. Paul was writing to the congregation and he said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You know, that's a message from the Lord for all of us this morning. Regardless of what country we are from, regardless of what our political preferences are, Jesus came to bring us peace. And he wants us to be comforted because of the presence of God in our life, regardless of what is happening around about us. And he went on to say that he gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. You know, it's God's will that we be delivered from this present evil world. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to take us out of it immediately, because obviously the Lord is tarrying his coming. But it means he wants us to be living in such a way that we are not under the power or the influence of the evil world around us. He came to do something in our hearts that we need not succumb to the influences that are all around us in the world. He came to give us a power that we could live with peace that is not dependent upon what is happening in our world today. Which means when you turn the news on and you hear the trouble that's in our world, that there is a peace that abides in our heart that surpasses what the world has to offer. So grace and peace be unto each one of you this morning by the will of God and by his grace. I know that there is a lot of consternation and there are a lot of troubled hearts over the condition that are in our world. And the good news is this morning that in the world ye shall have tribulation. But Jesus said to be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. So yes, indeed there is trouble around about us. Indeed there is a lot of uncertainty in the political landscape of this country, but in all around the world. And the enemy is working and there is a great moral decline. But however, there is a peace that passeth all understanding that God's people can find in him this morning. And I thank the Lord that he has overcome the world. As we consider the time that we live in, I'd like us to remember a truth that is found in the book of Daniel. Daniel in the second chapter, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, it says, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him." Do you know that nothing has changed today? That it is still God that sets up kings and removes kings? And it is true this morning that God, throughout history, we find it in the Scripture, and we find it after the era of the Scripture. We find that God has used evil men to accomplish His will when He wants it to be accomplished. It is also true that God leaves men many times to their own devices. When men turn their backs on God, God many times gives them over and allows them and enables them to go the course that they set. But when God wants something to be accomplished, He is not limited by who is in power of any given country at any given time. So when we look at the political landscape, whether it was President George Bush, or President Clinton, or President Trump, or our new President Biden, it does not matter who is in power. They cannot circumvent the will of God unless God allows them to accomplish what they will. So if God wants something to be done, He has used evil men and unrighteous men throughout the generations. He took Pharaoh, who was a wicked man, and He used Pharaoh to accomplish His purpose that God would receive glory. He used King Nebuchadnezzar, a man that had turned his back on God. The Lord used him to accomplish His purpose. Even to King Herod, to Pilate. We look at people in the Bible and say, well, these were wicked men. Nothing is new under the sun, saints. We say, what are we going to do? What about look at what's happening in our world? It doesn't minimize the concern, but I still know that there is a God that is sovereign this morning, and His power is not dependent upon who is leading the countries of our world today. He's sovereign, He has control, and while the world is in that downward spiral, God is still supreme. God is still sovereign, and His power will not fade. And so as God's people then, Lord, help us to rest in the sovereign power and will of God. Because He promised never to leave us nor forsake us, didn't He? He didn't say, well, depending on the results of the election, it's going to really affect God's power. It hasn't affected God's power at all. And it hasn't for hundreds and thousands of years, thank God. In the 44th verse, after Daniel had interpreted the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of the great image in the kingdoms of the world, we read in the 44th verse, it says, and in the days of these kings, and that was talking about in the time of the Roman government. That was a long time ago, when Rome was in power over basically all the known world. It said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be not left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know, this morning, that is where our joy is found. That's where our hope is found. If your hope is in the kingdoms of this world, you will be sorely disappointed. If your trust was in the power of the Roman government, you are going to be let down because the Roman world power was broken up. But there was a little baby that was born to this world, and His name was Jesus. And He was the Son of God, and that was the beginning of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God grew and grew and expanded, and it has filled the whole world. Christianity is available to anyone that will open up their heart to God. So where is our allegiance this morning? Is our allegiance to a specific country of the world? Is it to a specific president? Is it to a specific political leaning? No, our allegiance is to the Lamb of God this morning, and we are part of a kingdom that can never be destroyed. It doesn't matter how wicked the world gets. We are part of the kingdom of God, and I can go to bed at night, and regardless of the laws and the legislation and the riots and the burning and the protests and whoever is in political power and whatever the news is saying that day, I can wake up and face the day with peace in my heart because I'm a kingdom and a citizen of heaven. I'm part of God's kingdom, and it said that it can never be destroyed. Say, what are we going to do? I will tell the devil what we're going to do as God's people. We're going to keep serving God. We're going to keep trusting the Lord. Our faith is not in the presidency. Our faith is not in whether a Democrat or a Republican is in control. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. And we can say, I'm thankful, as was said earlier, Clayton, I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to be forgiven of my sins. The world did not give me salvation, and the world can't take it away, thank God. The world didn't give me the peace in my heart, and I don't want the devil to steal it because it comes from the Lord. And God will work as He will, and man will do what he will. But my trust is in a sovereign God who set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Thank the Lord for that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 said, this know also, that in the last days, remember what would come? Perilous times. Perilous times would come. And it goes through a list. You know, we are living in perilous times this morning. He said in the 13th verse of that second chapter, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is the time we're living in. But you know, it's not new. Read about the evil that God's people faced in Bible times. Things are not new. Our world, yes, is declining. And men and women are waxing worse and worse. We're seeing changes. There are things that my children today are facing in our world that we did not face when we were growing up. There were pressures and influences, and wickedness is abounding. But thank God's grace is abounding more. Well, in the media, and in politics, more and more in legislation, do you know there's more wickedness abounding? There's much more. The times that we live in, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, divorce and remarriage, the breakdown of the nuclear family, gender reidentification, abortion, drugs, racism, hatred, strife. Aren't those things abounding all around us? A world that touts and espouses tolerance and acceptance, which often equates to the endorsement of immoral behavior that are in no way compatible with a holy God. We live in a world that is more and more tolerant of extreme and sinful behavior and yet intolerant of scriptural principles and holiness. A time where the news media is more acceptant of most other religions and faiths, even in our own country, than they are Christianity itself. We're living in a time where there are going to be and there are more and more pressures and legislation in our country that will curtail our freedoms of speech and a right to worship. And it is happening. Sometimes it's behind the scenes. But are we going to allow those things to take our peace away this morning? Are we going to allow fear of the future? So how, as God's people, should we respond to that? How are we to respond to the viable concerns that we might have? How are we to respond to those things? Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy in the second chapter, and I believe there's some good biblical instruction that teaches us how we should respond. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for some people. Actually, I didn't say that right, did I? Just want to see if you're all listening. He said that, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for whom? All men. For kings, and for all that are in authority. For what purpose? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So how shall we respond this morning to the troubles of our world? How shall we respond to the injustices that take place in our society? How should we respond to the immorality of our society? How do we respond with the back and forth and all of the political conflict that is taking place? May I point us to the scripture that says, first of all, supplication. Intercede for those that are in power. Pray for them. He didn't say go out and protest. He didn't say cause a ruckus. He didn't say to go, but he said to pray. And he said to pray for all that are in authority. And we say, but yeah, but who's really in authority? Because if this is an unjust authority, what, just a minute. How did Jesus teach his disciples to handle the Romans that were suppressing the people of Israel? You'd say, well, they're really not, that was not a just authority. They shouldn't have been there. So we're not going to show honor and respect to the Romans because they invaded us. They invaded us, so we're not going to give them authority. I wonder what government really has the right to be an authority over anyone. Here in the United States, we could say, well, this country was invaded and taken over by the English, by Great Britain. Well, where did they get the power? Well, they came and they took it from maybe some of the Native Americans. Well, okay, well, they should be in power. We'll honor them. But which tribe? Because they were fighting one another for land, and there was a back and forth in that. The scripture says, whoever is in authority, as people of God, you pray for them. You honor them. You show respect to them. So I will just personally say that the other day I was listening to the inauguration. And it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you are on this morning. It doesn't matter what politics, because you know with politics, you're going to find hypocrisy in politics. You're going to find leaders of different parties saying one thing to serve their end and then changing, and it happens across the political spectrum. So as I listened to the inauguration, I was moved by the Spirit to pray for my new president. You say, but does that mean you agree with it? No, but I didn't agree with everything President Biden has already done in his couple days. I didn't agree with everything President Trump did. I didn't agree with everything President Clinton did or President Bush. What does that have to do with it? The scripture says you pray for them that are in authority. Because our trust is in a living God this morning. So as people of God, let us pray for our leaders. Let us be good citizens of whatever country we live in. But let us pray for those that are in authority. And I have heard, unfortunately, I've heard when different people have been present. When a Republican was president, I heard some say, well, he's not my president. Then I heard when a Democrat was in president, I heard others say, well, he's not my president. Shame. I believe that is a shame to God's people for those things to be stated. That may be too direct and I may hurt someone's feelings this morning. But folks, that's not the Bible. That's not the instruction I read in the Bible. The Word of God says to respect those that are in authority. Just because I pray for them and I show honor to the office does not mean I endorse the politics. It doesn't mean I support everything they're doing, but I will show a God-given respect Because it is God that sets up, it is God that takes down, it is God that put evil men in authority to punish the evildoers. He put evil men in that place because I won't do it. I'll love them and I'll forgive them and I'll go the extra mile for them, but it's not my job to put them in jail. It's not my job to sit in judgment. And so God said, I'm going to set up governments, civil governments, evil men to punish the evildoers that refuse to live under grace. So I am thankful. I wish everyone would live under grace and we wouldn't need all of this other stuff. But because everyone's not living under grace, I'm glad that there are men and women who are honorable people not living under grace to punish the evildoers. If someone comes in and breaks into your home, I'm thankful that there's a police officer or a soldier or a judge, someone that may not be living a righteous life, but is in government that can exert authority over someone that is committing the atrocities that are causing problems in our world. And many times those very people that are holding those office are doing evil deeds themselves. But the world would be a whole lot worse off without government unless they yielded to the grace of Jesus Christ. So as God's people, our perspective is different than the world. Our perspective is different. I don't want to be labeled this and that and the other. I'm a part of this citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And the scripture says you pray for those that are in authority over you. Don't be rebellious. Don't say, well, that's not my president. Yes, folks, we have a new president, and his name is President Joe Biden. And the scripture says not to speak evil of dignitaries. He didn't say don't speak evil of Republicans or don't speak evil of Democrats. He said don't speak evil of dignitaries. That doesn't mean that you can't disagree with the policies. That doesn't mean you can't have discussions about what we're facing. That's not what it's talking about. But I have heard professed Christians getting very personal, making ugly comments that have to do with personalities and having people just because they disagree with policy. Folks, that's not spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity is being in conformity with the Word of God in recognizing the Bible speaks for us to pray for them. And we can talk about policy and say, I disagree with this, what they're doing here. That's okay. We have that freedom in this country. But freedom in this country to speak does not erode the instruction of the Word to be good citizens and to pray for the leaders of our land. I hope this is clear this morning. I'll tell you what, if we take the Word of God on these issues of country and politics, it starts a hog tie the devil in how we start looking at things. It doesn't take away from the fact that there's concern, and there should be, and that there's places we need to pray across on all different types of issues that supersedes politics. It has to do with morality. It has to do with the institution of family and home and marriage and gender and life. I was reading in the scripture in different places in our Bible readings the other night in family worship. I said, I just want to read a couple of verses in a couple of different scriptures, and maybe we can do that sometime together. Where the Lord said, the prophet said, God spoke, he said, I knew you from the womb. You know, there are great atrocities taking place of thousands of babies being aborted and killed. That's not a political issue. That is a moral issue. That is a scriptural issue. It doesn't matter whether someone's a Democrat or Republican. There are moral issues. And regardless of how someone votes, that should not influence or change our stance on what the Bible teaches. Racism, it's not from God. The Lord taught us to treat everybody the same. If you show deference to a rich man and you kind of push the poor man off to the side, that's a prejudice. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. Racism, whether it's black or white or brown or from what country or what language, to treat people differently or to devalue who someone is, because that's not just a political issue. That's a spiritual issue. I can't support everything anybody does, whether they're a Democrat or Republican, unless they start lining up with the Word of God. So this is where we stand. And then as children of God standing in truth, we pray for the leaders of our land. Because the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the weapon the Lord equipped us with. It was the weapon of prayer. It was the weapon of intercession. If we wouldn't talk as much, and I'm not against talking about the policy issues, that's all right. But do you know that saints, and I'm not going to go too far with this one, but I'm going to speak truth on it. Saints can have disagreement on whether they're supportive of big government or small government. We can have disagreement whether you're supportive of increased taxes or decreased taxes. Those are policy differences that we can still come to service and love one another and worship the Lord together and have a disagreement on some policy issues of our country. Those things should never divide God's people. If it comes to issues of gender and family and marriage and home, it's not an issue of politics anymore. It's an issue of the Word of God. Racism, that's not a political issue. That's an issue of the Word of God, how we treat people and how we view people. See, that rises above then for us in the United States. It rises above Democrat, Republican. We're called to be children of God. We're called to peace because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. And when we begin as God's people to begin to push back against things in our society in a carnal way, we have the freedom and the right, at least now, to a degree, to still do that. But that's not what the Bible taught us as God's people. He said, pray that you could lead a quiet and peaceable life. Lord, help us not to be caught part of the disruption in our society. And we don't find Jesus out protesting in the streets against the Roman government. And they had cause to. Jesus taught his disciples to carry the pack of the Roman soldiers an extra mile. Jesus said if they compelled thee to carry their bag, you know, a mile, he said go with them twain. It was because under Roman law, a Roman soldier could make anybody walking down the road, they could say, carry my bag. And you had to do it by law for 1 mile. Then you could lay it down. You're on your own, buddy. I complied to the law. Jesus said, you know what? Yes, I'm putting words in his mouth. I want to be careful here. I'm adding something. In essence, he was saying, yes, they're Romans. Yes, they're oppressing us. But go the extra mile. Show them love. Show them forgiveness. So if you have to carry their bag for a mile like you're compelled by the law, you know what? Take it an extra distance. Don't throw their pack down at a mile and turn your back on them and walk off. He said, carry their bag for them an extra mile. Because there is nothing that will win people to Christ more than a show of humility and love and forgiveness. And that is what we are called to this morning. Violence is condemned in the New Testament by God because we are to live quiet and peaceable lives. We are not to retaliate evil for evil, which means that we say, what is our cause? You know, if our right to protest, what is the cause? And I want you to understand, I'm not saying there's not a time to quietly and humility voice your vote and your opinion on issues, all right? I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. But when we become part of a destructive force, we lose the cause of Christ. We say on one hand, well, it's the... Because you know everybody has a cause. What's happened in our world this last year? We have found cities have burned. Businesses have been destroyed in under the name and guise of a cause. But is God in that? Does God want us to be a part of that? And I've heard different people with different opinions, but I have to say, let's go back to the Word of God. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher or not. We've got to come back to the Word of God. And that means that the cause to stand up against racism, that's a just cause, isn't it? That's what the Bible teaches. Treat all men equally. And if there's something that we're doing that is causing undue hardship on a minority group, do you know the saints of God ought to be the first people to say, what can we do to change that? But we are not given the right under Scripture to go and burn and cause trouble. You say, but that's a just cause. But what about, do you notice how the hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle, see, this is not political now, because I want to be across the board, the hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle. We look at what's happened in our Capitol. That was a tragedy. But do you know that we set, that environment in this country has been set up for that for the last year? That it's okay to break into buildings, police stations burn, there have been courthouses. And you say, well, if it was the left, it was okay, or if it was the right, it was okay. Folks, it was both wrong. It was both wrong. They all had a cause, didn't they? The cause might have been wrong. It might have been a fake cause. It might have been an excuse to riot, but that's not the point for us this morning. The point for us is to pray for our leaders, to stand where the Scripture stands, to stand in truth and to love our enemies. Pray for them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and treat them with love. And I will just go a step further and say this, as evil people for many, many years have been in power, unrighteous men, it is something to know that God's people have flourished throughout history under oppression more than they have flourished under freedom. Do I want persecution in the flesh? Absolutely not. Do I want our freedoms and our right of assembly to be taken away? Absolutely not. However, let's not forget that persecution has a way of separating the wheat from the chaff, and it has a way of illuminating the lives of those who are sincere in their pursuit of God and righteousness. So as we see our world grow in darkness, that brings a heavy heart. And if we see freedoms eroded, it brings a heavy heart, and you can vote your opinion. You have the right to do that. At the same time, I still say if the persecution comes, it will not change our faith and our confidence in God. It will not change what we preach. It will not change what we teach. Going into Canada for a number of years, I went once a month up to the congregation in Chilliwack. And I remember hearing that you cannot preach against homosexuality. You cannot take documents in that do that. It's against their constitution. Now it's being considered hate speech in Canada. We're not too far away from that in this country. But as children of God, are we supposed to be repulsed and pushed away from those in that lifestyle? No, we are to love them and care for them and go the extra mile because Jesus died for them and they would make wonderful saints of God. We, except for the grace of God, we would all be sinners, and some as egregious and some as different, but it's all sin and it all separates from God. Jesus died for everyone. But at the same time, we are still to hate the sin and love the sinner. We are to still to preach and teach the truth. And if it becomes designated as hate speech, that's how the devil is just, they start labeling things differently. That's not hate speech. It is the love of God that reveals sinfulness for what it is. And as God's people, we need to keep teaching the truth, but do it in love. Do it with open arms to all people, of all lifestyles, of all walks, because Jesus died for them. And the Lord wants us to be a witness and a testimony of that love and forgiveness for a lost world. Scripture says in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, in the fourth verse, he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. If we are not careful, our lives will be driven by the politics of the day. And the scripture says, no man that warreth entangles himself. Do you know that's the danger with politics this morning? That's one of the dangers, is that it's very easy to start getting entangled. That's what you eat, sleep, and drink. It's what's on your mind all the time. It's what your focus is, wrapped up in the things of this world. I want to caution us about getting too entangled. There's going to be differences. I mentioned that. There's going to be differences of policy perspectives. But when it comes to spiritual issues, treating one another, moral issues, the scripture should be our guidebook. And we need to be very careful because, saints, I've seen it happen, and I'm sure you have too, where people have gotten so wrapped up in causes in society. Some of them I agree with the cause itself, but I disagree with how they approach it. And you heard the expression, they drank the Kool-Aid. They've been inundated, they've been influenced. And if we're not careful as a people, we will allow the influences that we are under, and I don't care if it's ABC or NBC or Fox, you will allow, if we're not careful, you will allow those influences to pull you a direction to influences your stand and perspectives on things, and you're not allowing the Word of God to be your foundation. Foundation teaches us many of the things that cause political divide in our country. It's not about Democrat or Republican. I want to stand where the Lord stood. And for those that don't stand there, I want to pray for them. And I want to show them a better way by love and by grace and by forgiveness that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. There are a lot of sinful ideas this morning, and you young people, I want to caution you, and I will be done here very shortly. But I want to caution you young people, and I guess all of us, that there are a lot of sinful ideas being propagated in our world under the guise of enlightenment. Where we have a little more enlightenment, a little more understanding. We are embracing a fuller society, and we have risen above from where we were. I want to say there's a lot of sinful things that are being brought under that umbrella. May the Lord help us to be enlightened by His Word that teaches truth and holiness and the sanctity of marriage and purity, and that He made male and female, and that He once made a man to marry a woman, and that there is sanctity of life. Those are spiritual biblical issues. I don't want to allow the politics of the day that I just align myself with this politician or with that politician, and pretty soon I'm getting swept into these causes. I trust that you will understand. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of what? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36, He said, if it were, my servants would fight. In other words, that's not what I want you to be doing. Because we're citizens of another. The kingdom of God is where? It's within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. So where sin did abound, Romans 5:20, where the law entered that offenses might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This is our hope this morning. Where sin is, for every individual, from every walk of life, regardless of country, regardless of politics, there is a God that can break the power of sin, regardless of how dark the world gets. In closing this morning, and I will not take the time to read it, but I would like to close with something about God, a little bit more about Him. Over in 1 Kings in the 20th chapter, and you can read it if you would like a little homework, but we read of the Syrians coming against the people of God with a great army, and King Ahab, they were taken aback. It's like, what do we do? And the Lord gave them a great victory. God gave His people a great victory. And so this is how the Syrians responded. They said, you know what? He said, their gods, the gods of the children of Israel, their gods are the gods of the hill. So let's fight them in the plain. In other words, they got the victory because it's a god of the hill. So the prophet came to the king and he said, the Syrians have said this. The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys. So I will deliver all of this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know I am the Lord. In other words, they said, you know, if you're fighting here, he's God of the mountain, but let's go fight him in the valley, then we'll win then. You know what this teaches us? God is supreme. He is sovereign. The God of the hills is God of the valleys. The God of the Democrats is the God of the Republicans. The God of the Americans is the God of the Iranians. God is God. Regardless of what is going on, regardless of the politics, regardless of the country, our God is supreme, and it is in that God that I place my trust this morning. It is in that God that will deliver us. It is in that God that will see us through the darkness of this life. It is that God that will see us through the policy and political changes of our world. And it is that God, if we follow him, that will take us all the way to heaven. So what shall we do this morning? What are we going to do? I hope you don't go home troubled today. What are we going to do? We're going to keep trusting the Lord. We're going to pray for the leaders of our land. We're going to be good citizens by God's help. We will recognize our status as just pilgrims and strangers. And as we love our neighbor and show them the love and forgiveness of God, we will keep worshiping and serving a sovereign God. Amen.